On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the INMO says overcrowding at Letterkenny University Hospital is incredibly dangerous. Over 100 people fleeing the war in Ukraine have arrived in Donegal. Almost 64,000 cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed over the past 5 days. And police say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare and safety of a teenager missing from Derry. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First news though, there are calls for government intervention to address what the INMO says is incredibly dangerous overcrowding at Letterkenny University Hospital. The union says overcrowding is having a very serious impact on staff wellbeing as well as on the quality of care they can provide. Adrian Harmon has more.
INMO Industrial Relations Officer for Letterkenny, Neil Donoghue, says the level of overcrowding at the hospital is appalling and the COVID risk is extremely high. He fears the situation will have a long-term effect on recruitment and retention in the region, which in turn will impact the entire community as well as COVID transmission in hospitals and elsewhere. There's calls for immediate attention and government intervention to address the situation. According to today's Trolley Watch report, 54 people are waiting on a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital. 17 people are on a trolley in the emergency department, while a further 37 are waiting on wards.
Over 100 people fleeing the war in Ukraine have arrived in Donegal. Ukrainian refugees began arriving in the county last week, with the first group based in Bundoran. Several more refugees are expected in Letterkenny in the coming days, where they will be based in McGettigan's Hotel. Councillor Michael McMahon told today's 9 till noon show that a lot of work has gone into ensuring that the process is as easy as possible for those arriving into Donegal.
There's 125 here in Bundoran at the moment. They are getting themselves composed and getting themselves sort of organised. It was a big job. They started coming in on Wednesday. The last of them coming on Saturday. We're doing our very best to make sure that they're being well looked after and been taken care of. It's a big job. It's very sad when people arrive in a country and they've only got their clothes on their back. That tells its own story. But the people of Bundoran and the surrounding area have been very, very generous, and we're very happy about that. They opened their hearts and they opened their houses and they opened their minds, and I want to thank them personally about that. We will be very well taken care of here in Bundoran. There's a lot of professional people there, teachers, doctors, nurses, different people there, you know. So hopefully in the later stage when we get everything sorted that they will get employment here.
Well, student accommodation will be used to help provide places to stay for Ukrainian refugees, according to the Higher Education Minister. Over 9,000 people fleeing the war have already arrived in Ireland, and efforts are underway to allocate vacant rooms across the country. Simon Harris says over 1,000 student beds have been pledged to date from universities and colleges, and he says there are plans to increase that further.
We've been working with our colleges, and we're continuing to work with them to make sure that student accommodation, which will be vacant when college is closed, can be made available in the short term for Ukrainian students. And that might help in terms of some of the sequencing to allow time for other options to be put in place in terms of accommodation.
Meanwhile, EU Foreign Affairs and Defence Ministers are meeting in Brussels to discuss tightening sanctions on Russia over the war in Ukraine. Minister Simon Coveney says Ireland would support extending the sanctions to the energy sector and a ban on the importation of Russian oil. Minister Coveney says the country is also open to any mechanism that could bring those responsible for atrocities in the war to justice.
In many ways, this is the first global war that is being played out on social media, where people see images happening live and they're outraged by it. This is driving a fury across the European Union within the public as to why can't we stop this through political and diplomatic intervention, but also they want people held to account.
Almost 64,000 cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed over the past 5 days. Figures have been released from last Thursday until today, showing a total of 63,954 cases of COVID-19 registered through PCR tests and the antigen portal on the HSE website. The number of patients in Irish hospitals with the virus has increased by 25% in the past week. There's 1,308 patients today, while 49 are in ICU, which has remained stable. Latest figures show Letterkenny University Hospital is dealing with 83 infectious cases of the virus, one in ICU. Some immunologists and doctors have called for more mask wearing to help deal with the rise in cases. Donegal doctor Dennis McCauley from the IMO is encouraging people to wear face coverings more often.
And I would hate to see for people getting too complacent that I think all we are asking them to do some very simple things. It's not going to intrude in their civil rights too much. I think we just have to be respectful.
Police say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare and safety of a teenager missing from Derry. 18-year-old Philip Donaghy was last seen on Thursday last at around 4 p.m. in the city. Anyone who believes they may have seen Philip or who has any information on his whereabouts is asked to contact police on the non-emergency number 101. A Dublin-based senator says it's time to start a conversation about a Derry-Dublin rail route. Senator Marie Sherlock, a frequent visitor to Donegal, says while she supports long-term plans for the expansion of the A5 and also supports the idea of a rail link from Letterkenny to Dublin, she believes with express trains and agreement with TransLink and the Irish government, a high-speed rail service from Derry to Dublin would be feasible. She was speaking earlier to Greg Hughes on the 9 till Noon show.
The Derry to Belfast route is probably one of the most beautiful rail routes in the world. But really, it's about the frequency, the length of time, and there's no reason why there couldn't be an express route from Derry to Belfast. And then, of course, we do have the Enterprise from Belfast down to Dublin. Then that becomes another option.
How quickly could the journey be done, do you think?
Well, there's no reason why it should take 2 hours to go from Derry to Belfast. There's no reason why there couldn't be an express route that would take under an hour or an hour to cut the journey in half from Derry to Belfast. And then we're looking at 2 hours. So that takes 3 hours then. And if somebody's coming from in a show, like as in on a good day, we can make Dublin to Carndonagh in about 3 hours and 45 minutes. But like if we could do, you know, Derry to Dublin, I know there are lots of people who have to come to Dublin for health reasons or for education or for other reasons that would gladly take the train if they thought that there was a good service, a frequent service and a cheaper service in place. And I think there's no reason why government and public and the government in the north can't come together and ensure that we have a better service. Over many years, there's been almost an acceptance that there won't be rail links from Donegal to the rest of the country, and we need to change that. The key issue now is how do we actually ensure that there is a faster route, a cheaper route and a viable route.
Amnesty International has warned that the trial due to start next week of a soldier for a Troubles-related death could be the last Troubles trial if plans for a de facto amnesty are enshrined in law. 51-year-old David Jonathan Holden will appear at Langenside Courthouse in Belfast next week, charged with the manslaughter of Aidan McInnesby in Auchnacloy on February the 21st, 1988. Trish Laverty has more.
Next week's trial comes ahead of a planned highly controversial UK government bill, which would include a statute bar on Troubles-related prosecutions. The plans have been met with widespread opposition, and the McInnesby family is calling on the UK government to abandon these plans and ensure every victim has access to justice. Bráinne Teggart, Northern Ireland campaigns manager at Amnesty International UK, says this trial represents the due process that the UK government is seeking to shut down for victims and demonstrates clearly why plans to legislate for a de facto amnesty must not succeed. In a statement, Sean McInnesby, brother of Aidan McInnesby, said his family has been forced to wait in purgatory for the past 34 years without any real opportunity for closure, but never gave up. He says this trial gives the justice system the freedom to do its job. All victims deserve truth, justice and accountability.
Strike action by Derry City and Strabane District Council workers is having a significant impact on services throughout the district. From today until Sunday, March the 27th, members of Unite Union are striking following an official ballot for fair pay and conditions. The council says they are experiencing considerable disruption to a number of services such as refuse collection, street cleansing and recycling centres. Gated council-owned parks and play areas are also impacted, with many remaining closed this week, while swimming pools at all leisure sites are closed and, where possible, gym classes and main hall activities will continue. The level of impact, the council says, will be variable across all services and is subject to change as the week progresses. Police in Strabane are trying to track down a driver who was involved in a cross-border incident in the early hours of yesterday morning. It's after a quantity of drugs was found in a car which failed to stop at checkpoints in both Strabane and Lifford. Greg Hughes has more.
Shortly after 1 o'clock yesterday morning, PSNI officers were mounting a vehicle checkpoint on the Lifford Road in Strabane when the driver of a grey-coloured Seat Leon failed to stop and drove across the border into Lifford. Gardaí were alerted but were unable to stop the car, which then drove back across the border into Clady. Police deployed a Stinger device on Ernie Road where the vehicle came to a stop. However, the driver fled the scene. Police say the car had no insurance and was clearly not in a roadworthy condition, with three defective tyres. Officers also found a quantity of suspected Class B drugs and drug-related paraphernalia in the car. The PSNI have thanked Gardaí for their assistance and are urging anyone who may have dash cam footage or information about the Seat Leon's movements to come forward.
The government has announced a new system to allow offshore wind projects to get the go-ahead. It comes as there are increasing concerns about the country's fossil fuel dependence in light of upcoming carbon emission targets and the war in Ukraine. Ben Finnegan reports.
Developers will be able to get a special maritime area consent from the Environment Minister Eamon Ryan, which would then allow them make an application for an offshore wind farm to onboard Planola. The Department of Environment will make a judgment on the applicant's viability, meaning that only projects that could be completed will go forward into planning, which the government says will streamline the process. For years, campaigners have called for more of a focus on offshore wind farms to help power the electricity grid rather than onshore, as they can cause issues for those living nearby. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan says this is a tangible milestone towards 80% renewable electricity by 2030. So far, there's only one operating offshore wind farm here off the coast of Wicklow, with the hopes that more projects like these will help reduce the country's carbon emissions and reliance on fossil fuels.
Gardaí and Donegal are warning that a poor road safety decision could have altering consequences for motorists and others. It's after a number of drivers were detected speeding by the Donegal Town Roads Policing Unit yesterday. Fixed charge penalty notices were issued to all motorists. Gardaí are urging drivers to not put lives at risk and slow down.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with some local soccer news. And after some recent problems at the Brandywell, Derry City Board of Directors issued a statement today. And Derry City are set to hand down lifetime bans and are putting plans in place to deal with the recent unsavoury behaviour at games. Lighting of flares, throwing objects onto the playing surface, encroaching onto the pitch during and after matches, and crowd disturbances has seen the club hit with £3,000 in fines already this season. Derry say action has to be taken, and on top of lifetime bans from the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, evidence of the offenders will also be given to the police. The club has also instigated a full review of its matchday operations. You can read the full statement from the Derry City Board of Directors on our website, highlandradio.com, in the sports section. In other news, Stephen Kenny says John Eustace is an excellent addition to his coaching staff. The Queen's Park Rangers assistant replaces Anthony Barry, who left last year for a role with Belgium. Eustace has worked at Loftus Road since 2018, working first under Steve McLaren and then under current boss, current manager Mark Warburton. He'll be involved in this week's Ireland preparations for friendlies with Belgium and Lithuania. And Scotland manager Steve Clarke has handed first call-ups to Craig Halkett and Ross Stewart. The Hearts defender and Sunderland striker have been added to the squad following the withdrawal of Scott McKenna. St Johnstone goalkeeper Xander Clark's also brought into the group in place of number one David Marshall. Scotland face Poland and either Wales or Austria in upcoming friendlies. In other news, a consortium of Chelsea season ticket holders is thought to be among the bidders for the Premier League club. A number of groups have put in offers before Friday's deadline, with many promising to give fans a say in how it's run. Roman Abramovich's time as owner appears to be near an end after he was sanctioned by the government. Former Chelsea winger Pat Nevin says he's optimistic there'll be a positive resolution.
in time, you know, and hopefully quite a short time, Chelsea will be able to go forward and hopefully in a calm way, and maybe even, you know, a more relaxed way than they had been before, because there was always a bit of stick aimed at Chelsea.
Juventus have ended contract negotiations with Paulo Dybala. The 28-year-old is out of contract in the summer and has been seeking a wage increase from the Serie A giants. However, Juve have balked at his requests and will allow him to leave on a free transfer at the end of the season. In rugby, Nicola Friday says captain in Ireland will be an incredible honour. The Exeter Chiefs lock will lead the side through this year's Six Nations, which gets underway with Saturday's clash with Wales at the RDS. Friday has made 22 appearances in green since making her debut in 2016. And Devon Toner says he's able to leave rugby on his own terms and in good health. Leinster's record appearance maker will retire at the end of the season. Toner won 70 Ireland caps and was part of the team that won the Grand Slam in 2018. In golf, Shane Lowry's latest top 20 finish has seen him move up three places in the latest World Golf rankings. The Offaly man is now 33rd following his tie for 12th at the Valspar Championship last night. Rory McIlroy drops 1 to 8th, while Seamus Power, he's still inside the top 50 at number 48. And in motorsport, Ferrari boss Matteo Binotto believes whoever wins the car development wire will be crowned Formula One champions this season. The team opened up the new campaign with a 1-2 at the Bahrain Grand Prix, with Charles Leclerc ahead of Carlos Sainz. The Italian outfit had a strong winter, and former British driver Johnny Herbert believes they'll be fighting at the front for the title.
Not a surprise in many, many respects, but I think it's something we can look forward to, because we've always had the challenge of Max and Lewis exciting us on the racetrack. Now we've got Charles Leclerc in that mix, and I'm sure they do think it's their year.
Finally, for this evening on this week's DL debate, Brendan Devaney is joined by former Mayo star John Casey and Kevin Cassidy, looking at Donegal's defeat to Dublin in the league. Ladies All-Star Geraldine McLaughlin will look at Donegal's brilliant victory over the Dubs in the Ladies League One semi-final, and Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann. That's all on the DL debate tonight after the 7 o'clock news, and it's podcasted on highlandradio.com. That's all your sport. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, 40 business leaders attended a Donegal business breakfast in the London Borough of Islington at the weekend as part of a series of Irish community events organised by the area's Donegal-born Mayor Troy Gallagher. The business event was coordinated by Donegal County Council's Head of Economic Development, Anne-Marie Conlon, who told Highland Radio in London that the ability to act as a bridge between the UK and the EU is a major selling point for Donegal. She says the weekend event was a very important gathering.
We had a business breakfast. We've spent about the last 8 weeks developing and planning for it and connecting in with people with a Donegal connection in London and in Islington. So we had about 40 people, lots of people from different business networks, kind of different Irish London business networks, and really amazed by the number of Donegal connections. Donegal has come on so much in the last 20 years, and I think what's really important is our cross-border location. If we're in the EU, but we're right beside Northern Ireland with access to UK and Northern Ireland markets, and I suppose when we're connecting with businesses in London, what we're saying to them is, look, this is a great location if you want to access the EU. We're right here on the border with Northern Ireland, so the people of Donegal are really comfortable working in those two settings, and that in itself is a, you know, it's a key selling point for us. We have a lot of kind of lessons to share as well. For example, how the likes of Letterkenny Institute of Technology and the Donegal ETB have worked with large companies in the county and smaller businesses to develop those kind of bespoke training programmes.
And finally, MICA homeowners will be represented at a European Parliament webinar on defective blocks tomorrow, with representatives from Donegal and Mayo presenting their knowledge and approach to an international audience. The webinar, hosted by the Left Group in the European Parliament, will also feature speakers from the USA and Canada, where defective block issues have also appeared in the past. The MICA Action Group's Eileen Doherty says this event will be another opportunity to shine an international spotlight on the MICA crisis.
We're trying to better understand what their knowledge is in relation to these minerals, and how that knowledge can be brought together to help us better understand what's happening with these homes in Ireland. And we have been working with these experts over the last number of months, and this is finally a coming together of the delegation now this week on Thursday in terms of the EU seminar. Now, what we plan to do is, following even the seminar, we plan to, over the next number of months, to undertake research collectively to try and better understand the impact of these minerals, because we have some understanding of mica, but as a combination of mica, pyrite and pyrrhotite, there is really little understanding of how they interact together. So those are the kind of things we'll be trying to work with these international experts to try and get a better understanding and help come to a proper solution for the mica issue.
And of course, I guess it begs the question, with partly involvement of one of the parties in the European Parliament, do you think then, could there be a more European solution to the mica crisis? Could you see this down the road as a way of bringing this issue to the light of the European Parliament and maybe even getting EU funding or the like to help rebuild and repair homes that have been affected by mica, not only in Ireland, but elsewhere within the Union?
Effectively, this is another mechanism to try and ensure that there's an EU spotlight being shown on this issue that's happened in Ireland. I mean, ultimately, it's important to say that we still always will want to see a public inquiry happening as a result of this issue. That is something that we haven't forgotten about. But what we also want to ensure is that the key stakeholders who are trying to understand and who will be involved in revising the IS-465 protocol, that they are engaged also, and that they ensure that they are working based on the best scientific knowledge and research that there is.
Weather now dry and mostly sunny for the rest of the day, with highest temperatures of 11 to 15 degrees. And the closing headlines, there are calls for government intervention to address what the INMO says is incredibly dangerous overcrowding at Letterkenny University Hospital. The union says overcrowding is having a very serious impact on staff wellbeing as well as on the quality of care they can provide. Over 100 people fleeing the war in Ukraine have arrived in Donegal. Ukrainian refugees began arriving in the county last week, with the first group based in Bundoran. Police in Strabane are trying to track down a driver who was involved in a cross-border incident in the early hours of yesterday morning. It's after a quantity of drugs was found in a car which failed to stop at checkpoints in both Strabane and Lifford. And a Dublin-based senator says it's time to start a conversation about a Derry to Dublin rail route. Senator Marie Sherlock, a frequent visitor to Donegal, says while she supports long-term plans for the expansion of the A5 and supports the idea of a rail link from Letterkenny to Dublin, she believes with express trains and agreement with TransLink and the Irish government, a high-speed rail service from Derry to Dublin would be feasible. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, March the 21st. The death has taken place of Jeannie Harkins, née Doherty, Hella of Carmore, Glentoher, and later of Clydebank, Glasgow. Funeral being held on Thursday morning, 10 o'clock Mass at St Stephen's Parish Church, Clydebank. The death has taken place of Catherine Logue, née Ivers, Greenbank, Quigley's Point. Her remains are reposing at Murphy's Funeral Home, Burntfoot. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 5:30, going to the Sacred Heart Church Moff to arrive at 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Pat Hamilton, late of 9 New Street, Claddy, reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home on Wednesday afternoon from 4:30, with removal at 5:30 to St Columba's Church, Donnyloop. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Seamus McLaughlin, late of 22 Benview Estate, Derry, and formerly of Glackmore Muff. His remains are reposing at his late residence, with funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen, followed by interment in the City Cemetery, Derry. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired in lieu to foil search and rescue. Care of McLaughlin, funeral directors Dungiven. The death has taken place of Kathleen K. Kemp, née McLaughlin, 5 Seacrest Shore Road, Buncrana. Remains reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home, Buncrana, with viewing from 3 until 5 o'clock and 6 until 8 o'clock tomorrow and Wednesday. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 9:20, going to St Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. The death has occurred of Derek Gallagher, Mean Moor and Key Road, Dunloe. His remains are reposing at McGlynn's funeral home with Rosary at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 3 until 5:30, followed by removal to St Columba's Church Acres for 6 o'clock, where he will repose overnight. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. The death has taken place in Woodley, Reading, England, of Patricia Patsy Gill, née Logue, formerly of Mallon, County Donegal. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Eddie Hegarty, formerly of Knockna Fochar, Dunfanaghy. His remains will arrive in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, tomorrow evening at approximately 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass there on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv. And the death has occurred of Maura Harkin, née Galena, Strandcourt, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal tomorrow morning at 9:15 to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Nazareth House Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.